Okay, we are rolling. So, episode 101 about to start. We're just waiting out in the car.
Yeah, first time ever recording the cold open from the car.
Yep. Good thing we're doing it, too, because so far it's riveting.
We're outside of Amber's house. And
don't give out the address.
No, I wasn't going to give out the address. And we showed up fashionably early by about 3 minutes.
I can't believe we were early, but in true Vancouver, November?
End of November, yeah.
Well, this is airing in December.
Right, yeah.
True December fashion, it is pouring rain and 3 degrees.
And we're in the car, in the dark.
Yeah, that's suspect.
And we thought, what a great idea. Let's record the cold open in the car. Let's keep saying cold open, too.
Yeah. It's 106 miles to Chicago. We got a full tank of gas, half a pack of cigarettes. It's dark. And we're wearing sunglasses. Hit it. Okay, cold open take two. We got here early.
Yeah.
Except here, it was not here. Here was the wrong... We went to the wrong here.
And the best thing was, we were 5 minutes early, and we waited till the appropriate time, only to find out that we were knocking on a house that was the wrong door.
Yes. Now, I know we're going to throw blame around. I blame you, you blame me. Let's just call the whole thing off.
Okay.
Except for it was totally your fault.
It was way your fault.
I don't use a navigator. I don't use one of these, what do you call this, GPS?
Yeah, I just told you, tell me the address so I can punch it in.
Yeah, and I did, and you mispunched it in.
No, I punched in what you told me.
Well, here we are. Here we are. Why are you turning that way? Are you going...
Should I go left?
Well, that's where she lives.
You know the best part about a GPS? It only works if you put the right address in it.
Okay, well, now I sense that you're being a little hostile, and I would rather you just focus your energy on not crashing. Hello, and welcome to episode 101 of the Two Hosers Photo Show. My name is Alan in Vancouver, Canada. With me, as always, is...
Adam, also in Vancouver.
Also, Adam, you handle the next. Go left.
And with us, not as always, but sometimes...
Amber Hughes, in Vancouver.
And I'm thrown because we're all in the same room.
Yeah, so who talks now?
It's kind of eerie.
Yeah, normally it's via the Skype, but...
It's a round table, but oval.
And we're out of stuff to talk about.
Yeah, hey.
That's great.
End of the podcast, 101.
No, I wanted to say, you know, welcome Amber back on the show. And we had a good response from the first time. And
well, thanks for having me.
Glad we could be here at your house.
Yeah, we're at your house.
Right.
So glad we could be here.
That's what I just said.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right.
So, what'd you shoot this week? Should we start with Amber?
Yeah, start with Amber.
I shot nothing. Unfortunately, because I'm almost full term, I'm pregnant, so I'm just staying cozy and getting the last of my editing done and albums out. So,
what about maternity pictures? Do you shoot those of yourself?
No, I did have some taken though, but no, I actually don't do maternity.
Okay, so you have a friend who does, who you asked to do the pictures?
Yeah, actually, my husband and I took a trip down to San Francisco a few weeks ago, and a friend of mine who lives down there, he's amazing. His name is Nirav Patel, if anyone wants to look him up. He did these absolutely incredible photos of us on the California coastline.
Nice. And so the trip was specifically to see the person who was going to do this?
Well, no, it was kind of, that was... the cherry on top of the trip.
And to watch the Giants in the World Series.
Actually, we were there when they won.
Yeah?
It was pretty crazy.
Did you get to go to the game or no?
No, it was... We didn't have the money for that, but...
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Great.
All right, what about you?
What did I... Should we lie? Because this is airing...
In 2 weeks.
In 10 days or something.
Yeah.
So, again, we have a rip in the space-time continuum because of travel. I shot a corporate event tomorrow.
Which went super well.
Of course it did.
Yeah.
But when you're hearing this, I will have shot it, so hopefully it was awesome.
Okay.
But what I am going to do tomorrow, or did yesterday, is it's been a big kind of, not quite a ballroom. You were there last year.
Yeah.
And so this year I'm going to set up a couple of flashes, some hard lights on a remote, and just rake it across the whole crowd.
For the dance floor.
No, in the reception area.
Oh, okay.
And then walk around with on-camera flash bouncing in the ceiling, using the black foamy thing, and just hopefully getting a lot of backlight just raking across the crowd. So.
And what are you going to shoot with?
85 mil.
Oh.
I'm going to, because I have the new lens.
Yeah.
A lens I love. I'm going to probably shoot the most with that one. It might be a little tight because it's really crowded, so you have to get up really close to people. So 85 on the full frame might still not be enough.
Yeah, that can be tough in crowds, definitely.
That's the thing. It's nice to stand back, but we'll see. And since I am a self-proclaimed prime lens snob.
Me too.
Okay. See?
Okay.
So are you.
Did you
actually
say that? Yeah.
No.
Well, I have the one zoom lens.
Right.
Yeah.
But also big fan of primes. So I was thinking tomorrow would be really good, or last week, depending. Would be good to rent a 24 to 70. Would be come in handy, but I'm still going to snob it.
Oh, yeah. It's the lens that you reach for if you have to.
The 24 to 70?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's the if you have to lens.
That wasn't a big sell. She wasn't trying to sell you on it.
No.
That's the
feedback. I said, don't go rent one. That was her advice, right?
I have rented one before in the past, for this event, actually, a few years ago, and because it's a job I do every year, or most years. And that was my feeling. It's fine.
It works.
Why
wouldn't you just put another camera, your 40D, with the 30 mil on it?
I did that.
Why wouldn't you do that tomorrow instead of renting a lens?
Because it's in Germany.
Mm, oh, that would be a good reason.
Yes. So if I can use yours.
Yeah, you can use mine.
I don't want to borrow yours.
No, I'll be actually shooting pictures of my kids in Steveston, so you can't have it.
Yeah. There
you
go.
I'm all about the dual cameras, though. That's actually how I get around the zooms at my receptions, is having a longer lens on one and a wider lens on the other. Then you're just ready for everything.
Yeah.
Right.
And then you carry one of those crazy belts where you like strap it to your waist or just over your shoulder.
No, I've got the shoot sack, so okay. I put all my lenses in that.
Okay, we're skipping ahead.
Oh, sorry.
Jeez. Hey, you haven't asked me what I shot.
Uh-huh. I'm not done with me yet.
Okay. All
right. No,
I haven't shot anything.
Let me see what else I did. The glass. Oh, there's glass on one side of the room too. So you know, there's that.
So shoot with your back to that.
Yeah. My only question. I did write something down. No, not for you to ask.
No.
If you write something down, you can ask it. Amber, you've shot with the 1.2 version of the 85.
Yes.
Okay, sell me on that.
Oh.
Do you own it?
No, I don't. Okay. I wish I did.
Because you own a house instead.
Well, actually, I don't. I rent this house. So, and that is actually why I'm able to afford all my camera gear.
But
in Vancouver, I mean, the prices for houses here is just ridiculous. But I digress. I have the 85 1.8, the same as you do. Mm-hmm. Is that the one that you've just gotten, I'm guessing? It's great. It's a good lens. And I always thought, you know, how much better could it possibly get with the 1.2? And it's the same thing that I found when I got my 50 1.2. It's just the bokeh that you get on it is just incredible. It's unlike anything else. It's very painterly. It's the quality of it is just gorgeous.
Now, when you say bokeh, some people use bokeh and depth of field interchangeably, even though technically it's not
really. It's different, No, I'm talking about the actual quality of the out-of-focus area, just the way that it looks, the way it renders itself.
So last week on the show, we talked about your challenge photo. Adam took his photo. It had like a little splash of water on the lens, which ended up rendering the shape of the iris leaves. Well, that was hard for me to spit out. Remember?
Right, yeah. And that was with the 30 millimeter.
Right. And so that affects the bokeh in addition. And so that's where you're going with.
So you get nice round circular bokeh.
It's just the... it's hard to describe. You'd have to see the images side by side. But it's just... It has a more kind of like nice painterly look to it. Like you would see in one of the Masters paintings. It's just gorgeous, and I find it's sharper than the 85-1.8 is.
Mm-hmm.
I find I get more photos that I want out of the 85-1.2 versus the 1.8. The thing that is kind of a little bit sucky about the 1.2 is it's slower to focus. When you're in a reception, when it's darker, it does hunt a little bit more. It takes a little while to lock that focus, so it's... That is one drawback to it, and it's very expensive, so...
Well, the expense is are the pictures... Three times as good, or no? It's more like five times.
It's closer to four or five times the price. Yeah, I think. Yeah. Roughly,
I would say they are. Yeah, honestly, yeah. I shot with one quite a bit this summer, and I am completely in love with it. And sad I don't own it. So,
yeah. If you can afford it,
Yeah, it's like having a leg.
Yeah, I can't.
Yeah, see, yeah. I'm having a baby, so that's what I'm spending my money on right now.
Yeah,
a wise choice. So there you go, Adam. What did you shoot? Still nothing?
I don't think I shot anything. Nope, I didn't. Only the challenge photo.
Okay,
that's it.
Well, we'll get to that then. Yeah. That leads us the silky segue right into the photo challenge.
Oh, hey, I did that.
You issued it, so why don't you introduce it?
I said season's greetings, and the only reason I said that is because I had every intention of taking my Christmas card photo.
Mm.
So this is I had every intention that I was going to do kind of a similar photo that I do every year of the kids, something that says Christmas. So this year my wife wanted them in their Christmas pajamas, wearing their Christmas hats or their Santa hats with their milk and cookies. So they're presenting them to Santa. So for the Christmas card, I added a little happy holidays, which you might get one if you're lucky enough. One makes it to Germany.
Okay.
But that's it. So it's white background. I did take some of the shadows out of the card just because I was thinking I was going to use this as a card that I was going to send out, so I just wanted it to be clean and white. So I left a little bit of shadows around their feet so you knew it wasn't a complete Photoshop job. Mm-hmm. But they are sitting on the seamless white background paper, so I wanted to leave enough shadow in to show that.
That's nice. Actually, quite often you see people using the white seamless background and they don't know how to render it pure white. So well done.
So that's it. That's all it is.
I like it. I wish I could rip on you, but you took a picture of your kids, and I like your kids.
So I get a pass.
You get a pass no matter what.
And it says season's greetings, right?
It does say season's
greetings. I should have put season's greetings right on there and just hammered you over the head with it.
Well, I don't think we needed that.
Okay.
It's bad enough that you stacked the deck.
You know, my children.
Knowing full well that my family was 8,000 kilometers away and couldn't do it, so really hamstringing me.
Yeah.
Standard Adam.
Yeah, no, that did go through my head, for sure.
Yeah, other than that, I like the fact that you did, like Amber said, render it true white. Some of your shots with the white background, there's a learning curve.
Yeah.
And so some of them have been grayish. So how did you get that to be white?
Two flashes in behind them on the paper.
Okay.
Do you want more specific than that? So basically two flashes on the paper. I did the exposure on the paper first to make sure it was white. So I looked at the histogram, made sure that it was almost all white at the far right edge of the histogram. And then I added them with the flash and an umbrella. So I worked backwards, I guess you could say.
That's kind of forwards.
Or forwards.
That's how we do it. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what we talked about on the white background episode.
Yeah.
You did exactly that, and it looks like a good, nice, even light.
And then, of course, that picture, my background paper is only about, I don't know, 5 feet wide.
Mm-hmm.
So I have to then go into Photoshop and extend it out in order to get that.
That's the nice thing when you do get it full white like that is you can add as much space as you want afterwards.
Yeah, and it was very easy to add. And there was a tiny, tiny edge that you could tell. So again, I just basically wiped that clean. So in Photoshop language, I just made it all the same color.
Gotcha.
Yeah. So that's it. Anything else?
Nicely done.
All right.
So difficult to personalize.
How about yours?
All right. There's mine.
Yours is a really old typewriter.
Yes, it is.
I had to zoom it in to see what it said on the letter.
Yeah, I meant to give you a higher res version because you're old and can't see.
Yeah.
But
it was a Dear Santa letter.
Yes.
And I'm sure because I don't think this was one that you wrote that it's a reference to something.
Well, Amber got it right away. You can go ahead and admit that you have no idea what this is.
No, I Googled it, so I do know what it is.
Well,
I didn't know until I Googled it, but I assumed based on reading it, it was from a movie because you're a former film student, and that's what film students do is they make weird references to old movies.
Usually Monty Python.
All right. I do have to say that I'm aghast that you have not seen this movie.
I'm going to see it this holiday.
Absolutely.
And I've seen a lot of movies, a lot, but I have not seen this. So do you want to let me...
Genuinely shocked myself.
So you let everyone in on what movie it is.
It's a Christmas Story.
I do know from IMDb that it is made in 1983.
Yes.
I do know the premise of the story.
I'm pretty sure it's the same guy who wrote and directed Porky, so I'm surprised.
And you know what? Looking at the cover of that, I got, like, because again, you Google it, you see the cover photo for the movie. I'm like, it looks like Porky's. How come I haven't seen this?
I can't. You'll shoot your eye out. Means nothing to you.
No, it doesn't.
Fragile.
I've heard that.
Yeah.
That's
just
it.
Thought that, that just someone mispronounced Fragile.
The Bumpus's dogs.
I watched that movie at least a half dozen times, every Christmas.
Wow. Okay. Seriously. Well, now you guys are really just kind of giving me a hard time.
Why don't you go sit in the other room?
You guys going to give me a wedgie later?
I don't know if we can continue.
Okay. I mean, triple dog dare.
No, I don't know. I mean, I've heard that. Yeah, I've heard that. Sorry.
Anyway, so yeah, that's what I did.
My homework. I'm going to my next challenge is to watch the
I approve that.
Christmas that's story. Good.
Okay.
No, my motivation behind this was to do something a little bit different. Esoteric, I think that's a word.
Is there any picture of the Santa letter, or are you just completely like, just, hey, this is in my mind what it's going to look like, the letter from this character?
Yeah, he doesn't actually write a letter. I don't think he writes a letter.
It's no, just a quote. It's a famous quote. I looked up the quote. It showed up right away when I typed it in.
In the movie,
I think he writes it as an essay, like what he wants for Christmas.
A theme.
Yeah, the theme.
They call it a theme. Yes.
Yes. And he writes that, and then his teacher gives him an F or something like that.
And she writes,
he'll
spoiler
shoot
alert.
So did you type that letter on that typewriter?
I did not. I cheated. The typewriter works, but it doesn't. The ink is a little bit weak.
Yeah.
So I actually printed that out on a printer using some sort of a fake font. And then just put it down there as if it was typed by that one.
Yeah, it reminds me, like, that photo, I don't know, it's kind of creepy to me. Is that what you're going for? Like, I look at that photo and I kind of get scared, like I might have a nightmare. I don't know, it's kind of dark.
It's a little cinematic.
Yeah, yes. So is that what you were going for?
Well, because the Christmas story is set in, like, I think 1930s.
I think it's 40s. But in the 40s? It's like around there, yeah.
Yeah, so everything around that time in northern Indiana would be, you know, dark and you'd be lit by maybe, you know, small lights. And so, you know, they weren't flooding their houses with light back then. And so I was sort of meant to connote. Connote, is that a word?
No.
No, that's not a word.
You made that up.
I think I did. I'm stumbling now. It's meant to convey, that's a better word.
That's a word.
That idea of it being kind of dark and lit and a little bit yellowy. I set the white balance to around, I forget now, around 8500 Kelvin. I just dialed it in and it's lit with one flash, which is essentially outside the window. I put it out in the patio and fired it through some blinds.
So you get some of the shadows and...
Exactly. Yeah. So I used my dad's blinds, his upright blinds, as essentially a gobo or a cookie, whatever we're going to call it. And that's what's casting the shadows. And that's it. And I used yellow paper. That was the key. I specifically used yellow paper.
Okay. Well, I think you accomplished what you were going for.
Okay.
I have no criticism. I think it's kind of a neat photo. I'm not going to tear it down. It made me pee a little bit when I saw it. And I looked it up and I looked at the text and I was like, this is scary. Why are you scaring me?
Wow.
So if I have night terrors tonight, then you know why.
Okay.
That's it.
Anything to add?
No, nothing to add. I like it.
You can rip on it. It's all right.
No. I think you did a great job. And, I mean, how can I not like it? It's Christmas story.
Right.
Yeah. I was, for a second, I was looking around at the typewriter. I was looking for blood on the typewriter. Like, you had just hit someone over the head with it before you wrote that letter.
Okay, we're going to stop at a shrink on the way home.
Yeah.
And get you some help.
All right.
Because you're making it weird. So there you go.
That's it.
So who says season's greetings? Go ahead, you gotta pick one.
Say me, pick me.
Pick him, because he's kind of a crybaby.
Okay, I'll pick him.
Yes!
Yeah, Adam.
Yes!
Pyrrhic victory, buddy.
Another one for the Gipper.
All right.
What's that from?
Yeah. I don't know, Ronald Reagan? Yeah. Ronald Reagan was the Gipper.
Was he?
Yes.
Oh, there you go. There's another reference that I don't know where.
Awesome.
See, there's lots. You keep coming up with them, and I'll tell you.
He lived next door to Ralphie. And what was his brother's name in the movie?
Oh, I can't believe I don't
remember
that.
Oh, you guys haven't seen it.
Randy.
You guys haven't seen it.
It's Randy.
Oh.
I think it is, yeah.
In the snowsuit.
It's our last
I didn't know, but I looked it up last night.
Just in case.
Just to double check the quote. I didn't want to put the wrong quote out there. Because it's a beloved film by many people.
Okay, well.
Okay, let's get to this week's topic.
Episode 101.
Even though it's wintertime and no one's... Well, some people are having weddings. Do you have weddings in winter?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I'm taking the season, the off season off.
Right.
Yeah.
You get many in the winter?
Not too many. No, I usually get maybe two or three. It's not huge, but if you think about it, there's lots of people during the summer, so everybody gets a huge volume, but there's not as many during the winter, so there's less photographers that are being chosen. So.
Right. I've done a couple. I did one or two New Year's Eve
wedding
video stuff though. Again. Back then, but That's a pretty good way to spend New Year's. And
my New Year's is usually pretty sacred. I usually don't want to work on it. But.
And magic hours, well, New Year's magic hour hits at about noon.
Yeah, about that.
So you got it. You got
especially in Vancouver when it's overcast and rainy.
Oh man, that's yeah. So, but that's the time to talk about weddings is when they're not wedding photographers aren't busy shooting them,
mm-hmm. right?
So that's what we're going to talk about.
We're talking about weddings.
Wedding photography part two.
Okay.
Because for those of you who didn't get a proper intro, Amber is a wedding photographer
okay.
in Vancouver.
I got a proper intro.
Yeah, you did.
You're looking at me like I was the guy that didn't get a proper intro.
Okay. No, but your website is, before we get to the rest, amberhughes.ca.
Amberhughes.ca.
That's where people can find you. And, of course, we'll put a link on the page. Adam will do that later in his blog, post he writes.
Right. I'm anxiously anticipating blog post number two.
This week, we're going to talk specifically about, because I have a million wedding questions. What is in the bag? We're going to talk about what's in your camera bag. So, my thing is, our show is kind of about, you know, everybody having access. And I hear a lot of pros like to shoot their mouth off about, well, you don't need a 5D Mark III and a 7200 F. 2A IS, you don't need all that. You can make good pictures without it. Yet they all have it.
This is true.
So I've always said you don't need a quadraphonic Blaupunkt, but there's kind of a cutoff point. Like there is a happy medium of where you do need some certain amount of equipment.
Oh, definitely. And you need at least backups too, or at least in my case, lenses that kind of overlap each other in use.
Okay.
If one of them breaks, you have something else to fall back on. If you always shoot with your 35, you have something else that at least covers that area, so you can shoot with that instead if you happen to smash it.
And have you smashed any lenses?
No, thankfully. No. I haven't.
That's good. Yeah.
I'm really daring. I go without filters, so I'm pretty lucky. I haven't managed to smash any of them yet.
We talked about that last
week.
Yeah,
we don't use
last
filters.
Week?
Yeah,
or 2 weeks ago.
I just figure, you know, you buy this, you know, however many $1,000. Pieces of glass, and then you put a really cheap piece of glass on the end of it. It doesn't really make sense to me. So
no,
agreed.
That was what we. I have had a UV filter on my lens when I first got my camera, and I did drop it and shattered the UV filter, and the lens was fine.
And you're like, wow, that was a good move.
No, it was horrible move. I cried a little, but really,
you didn't replace the UV filter after that.
No, I fired it out and came to my senses. Didn't need it. Yeah. So, first off, which camera do you shoot with?
I shoot with 2 5D Mark IIs.
That's because Nikon's terrible, right?
No, it's because Nikon's fantastic. It's, for some reason, I just do not understand them. I think that you're either one or the other. It's like your Mac or PC. I try to go through the menus on the Nikon, and it's like it's in Greek. Mm-hmm. I just don't get it. Whereas the Canon, the first time I ever picked one up, I just intuitively knew where everything was. And so that's why I went with that system. It's as easy as that.
To be perfectly honest, all cameras now are great. Like, yeah. We don't really get involved in the camera wars if they still exist.
Yeah. You still see people going on about it, but
yeah,
it's, PCs suck though. Let's be clear.
Let's be clear, but
yeah,
yeah. Always like to throw one of those in because there's always an angry listener that
there's going
to
be
yeah,
somebody.
Yeah, yeah. So I thought I'd throw that in. Are you a Mac or PC?
Oh. Mac.
Well, I knew that. That's why it was okay for me to say it.
Oh, you're painting your work picture.
Yeah, that's actually only one of my Macs.
That, and I'm the same way, and so is Elle. So we're all on board here. So just in case anybody didn't catch that, all Macs over here. This is a Mac roundtable.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
We will still talk down to everybody. Has it busy.
Yeah. No, and drink coffee at Starbucks and play on our Macs.
Okay, we veered off
course. Yeah, sorry.
So, no, when I got started, the reason I am a Canon guy instead of a Nikon is simply because at the time, that model, middle model, was quite a bit cheaper in Canon than it was Nikon.
Yeah, that was part of it, too.
And once you start down that path and you buy another lens, well, you're likely, unless you're super rich, you're just going to keep going down the Canon path.
I agree.
So it would be a huge hassle to sell all your stuff.
And some people do, but I think they're crazy. Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's like you say, if you've got a bunch of gear, you're going to lose money on it too, trying to sell it in order to switch. Yeah.
So Canon 5D Mark II.
Yeah.
Why the 5D Mark II?
It's actually kind of as simple as I had been shooting with a 30D. I wanted to upgrade. I was going to upgrade to a 5D, and the 5D Mark II came out around the time that I was going to upgrade, so that's why I jumped to it. I haven't upgraded to the 5D Mark III because, frankly, I've got two fantastic cameras that do the work, and I have happy clients, and there's no real reason for me to go and dump a whole bunch of money on new cameras when I have perfectly good ones.
So what would be the reason to go from the 30D up that line, the 40D, 50D, all those, up to the 5D? What's the big selling feature?
Well, for me, it was full frame was a big one. The ISO is so much, there's so much less noise at the higher ISOs. That was a big thing for me, too. And really, just the way that it renders color and shadow is just different than the 30D. I'm not sure, though, I haven't really played with any of the newer cameras in that line. So what is it at now, the 50D or
60D?
There's a 60D, there's a 7D.
Wow, I remember I had a 10D at one point.
Really?
The 7D
is in a drawer somewhere.
And the 7D is like $1,200. Yeah. I mean, it shoots frames per second. I think people buy that for the 10 frames per second if they want to crop.
So yeah. I'm not sure what like what the quality is on those these days, what the huge difference is between it and the 5D Mark II, but for me, those were the big reasons why I went with the 5D Mark II.
I think it still comes down to the physical sensor size.
Yeah.
And I, that was my one big thing is I liked the 40, I started on a 40D, loved it, it was great, but I kept wanting that full frame.
Yeah.
You know, because I'm used to shooting it on 35, and once I started shooting it, people say it doesn't matter, and I wrote a series of blog posts about how it doesn't really matter, technically, for most situations, but for those few that you need it,
yeah,
it's a big deal.
It definitely
deal.
Matters, yeah.
So 5D, do you have a favorite lens with that?
Well, I think it would be a tie. I love my 50 1.2. I absolutely adore it. And then there's also the 85 1.2 that I've been borrowing. Just for the same reasons, both of them have just amazing clarity, great depth of field, great quality to the bokeh. It's just, they're just fantastic lenses.
And how do you find working with prime lenses on, you mentioned, kind of hinted at it earlier in the episode, but how do you find working with primes at a wedding?
Oh, it's fantastic. It takes some getting used to. I would definitely maybe try with a zoom. If you're used to zooms, try having a zoom on one camera and having a prime on your other camera if you shoot two bodies like me. Just to get yourself used to the notion of having a lens that you have to, I call it manual zooming. You have to actually move closer or further mm-hmm. away. But I really like it because it's just, it's nice having the quality and that great depth of field that you just can't get with a zoom.
What about shooting? You shoot a lot in the church.
Yeah.
I'm guessing. That's most wedding photographers
now,
do.
I will say that during church weddings, I do actually use a 7200. So okay. I do go zoom there.
However, flash, no flash?
That depends. That depends on the church. Often, most of the churches in Vancouver that I've shot at won't let you use a flash. So you have to go no flash. And that's why I like the 7200. I have very shaky hands, so I need that IS. Mm-hmm. I've shot with the 135 in a church before, and I found it wasn't quite long enough for me, and that plus my natural shakiness, it didn't work out as well as I wanted it to.
Because there's no IS on
the... No.
I almost rented that for a wedding at one point.
Yeah, it's a great lens, but I find that I like the 85 more for portraits. That's what I would normally use the 135 for. Mm-hmm. I find it's just a little bit too long for me. And I don't like it during ceremonies very much. I like to have that ability to zoom in a little bit more if I need to, if I can't move right away.
Now, if you're shooting with the 2.8 IS, what kind of shutter speeds are you looking at? Like you?
Oh, I mean, it really depends on the situation, too. I go all the way down to 1/30th. Mm-hmm. So that you have to really, you know, hold your breath before each shot, keep yourself really still. But that's you can go pretty low with it.
So that's what I find is especially in Europe, very, very dark churches.
Yeah.
And even if you were to use flash, which you're not allowed, to the point I don't even bother asking anymore.
No, it's just, it's not happening.
It's just assumed that I'm not going to bother.
It's always the darkest churches that are like that.
Yeah. And they're always, you know, where we are, it's always not just dark inside, but dark ceilings. So there's nowhere to bounce anything. So ultimately, what I end up doing is I shoot with two bodies. And I'll shoot with a, because I have a 40D and a 5D, so one of them being crop frame, I'll shoot with a 50mm mm-hmm. on the full frame, and the 85 on the crop sensor, which then becomes a much longer lens, sort of, and that otherwise, if I flipped them, they'd both be the same
yeah.
focal length, essentially.
Yeah.
So that's how I do get around that.
Yeah, I usually shoot. I'll have the 7200 on one, and I'll have a 35 on my other.
That's a great combo. So what is all in your camera bag?
Okay,
Maybe first we start with, what is your camera bag? What do you use for a bag?
Oh, I like, I've got, oh no, I'm having a, can't remember the name of the company right now. There are those roller bags that are really popular.
Think Tank,
thank you.
That you know.
I apparently could not think to remember Think Tank. I have the Think Tank, I believe it's the Airport Express. I cannot remember exactly which one it is. I got it thinking that there's no way I could possibly fill it with all my gear, and it would take me a while to put all my enough gear to fill it, and then immediately came home and stuffed it to capacity. So apparently I had a lot of gear already. I have the two 5D Mark IIs. I actually rent my 7200 because I only use it for churches. I only get so many church weddings, so it's way cheaper for me to rent it just those few times in a season than to own it. I've got a 50 1.2, I've got the 85 1.8, I've got a 35 1.4, and actually I've got a 24 105 kit lens that usually stays in my bag. But
it's a pretty good kit lens, though.
It's pretty good. There are certain, actually, my dance photos, if you see my any of my dance photos on my website or my blog, are actually mostly shot with that.
Okay. And why would you use that?
Just because I like the fact that I can zoom in a little bit more with it. It has both in one. And for me, because I use backlighting, and I've got my pocket wizards all set up on my flash and everything like that, it's not something that I could easily just move to another camera. So,
right.
So I have that flexibility of being able to zoom in, get them kind of looking at each other really close up, really intimate, and then I can get the wide shot of everything that's happening as well.
And the first dance is the time that I don't like to zoom with my feet.
Yeah.
Because all of a sudden you're cheek to cheek with a couple.
Yeah, you're the jerk in the photo that everybody else is taking. Yeah. So
I'm the jerk anyway, but I don't like to give it. Yeah, that ends up happening, as you know. It's just a wall of photographers during that time.
Pretty much.
And you're on the other side.
Yeah.
That's how I end up doing that. So, wow, that all fits in your bag.
Oh, yeah.
And that's
the
one that you take with you everywhere you go.
Everywhere. And as well as that, I have two 580 EX2s, a 430 EX. That's just my backup. It's usually just hanging out in my bag. And two Vivitar 283s. And Pocket Wizards. And lots of cords.
Okay. Did you just start with that gear? Or where did you start?
I originally started out way back with the original Digital Rebel. That was like my very first camera that I ever had that was digital. I wasn't a pro at all, by the way. I just wanted to preface that was my first digital.
4 megapixel?
It was something like that.
Something 3 to 4?
I literally shot it until its shutter broke.
Okay.
Yeah, I worked that camera. And then I got a 10D, and that was when I was, just starting to feel serious about taking photos, but I wasn't actually in business. I was taking photos of my friends and that sort of thing. And then I upgraded to the 30D, and that's when I was actually being a photographer. And when I was doing that, I had the 50 1.4 from Canon. I have actually had every 50mm that there is possible. I've had the Sigma, I had the Nifty 50,
Everybody starts out with that.
Yeah. So basically I'm a connoisseur of 50s. So I could tell you just about anything about all of them. And then I had a 7200 f/4 at the time as well.
Mm-hmm.
And I had two Tamarons. One was a 2470 and one was it was like a 15 something. And those were my lenses at the time.
So you accumulated over time.
Yeah.
That's how, well.
And you'll notice I started out mostly as a zoom photographer and then gravitated to being a prime lens.
That's how a long, long time ago in the film days, when you bought a SLR camera, the kit lens was a prime.
Yeah.
It was 50mm 1.8.
Yeah, yeah.
And that was it. No one expected anything else. And then somehow 18 to 55 became the desired lens. Don't know why.
No, it's weird. It's this weird perception that somehow you're limited by having prime lenses, when I actually think you are creatively more you're pushed to move yourself and to compose more and to have a little bit more imagination.
Absolutely. I mean, Adam, starting out fresh, knew nothing, very little. I jumped at the prime lenses very quickly. It didn't take you much convincing.
No, and I think, and I convince people all the time that I know that are starting out to buy the Nifty 50, just because everybody says the same thing with that kit lens, that 18-55 that comes with all the Rebel cameras. They keep saying, well, how come everything's in focus? How come I can't make the background go out of focus?
Well, let me tell you.
Yeah. And but I think that's nobody really knows that behind the camera, because the advertising kind of shows you, oh, this is what a digital SLR will do, and then you quickly realize, hey, mine doesn't work properly.
Yeah, right? It can do that.
Yeah. So
a lot of our friends they buy this and then they have like they get the 18-55 and they get upsold on the 55-250.
Yeah.
Which
they say, well, you have every focal length covered.
Well, that's great,
but that never happens. You don't need every focal length.
No,
and that's what I try to convey to everybody. So,
I should get a commission on the 50mm 1.8s from Canon, because I swear I've sold 50 of them.
I don't know if there's a lot of wiggle room in their price.
Yeah,
no,
yeah.
No.
Yeah. But I'm just shout out to Canon. Yeah, you should give me a commission.
Yeah, I would like to see something in the 30mm that's affordable from Canon.
Well, there's a 28mm that's pretty affordable.
It's around $600.
No. There's like it's almost like the 1.8.
Oh,
yeah.
Really?
That's like, I want to say like $300.
Yeah.
Again, build quality is the same, I think, as the 51.8. But there is.
That's true. That's a good point. So, what is the order of importance when you're accumulating gear? I mean, especially keep in mind, you were doing it looking to be a pro, or continuing furthering your career as a pro, but for our listeners, what is the order of importance?
That's a tough one. For me, it was getting two reliable cameras that I knew were good quality and were always going to be there. I mean, you can rent a second body, but you never know what it's been set to, or it's unfamiliar. I have mine set up the way that I like it. I have, you know, my back button focus. I have that all ready to go, and I can rely on those cameras.
You can always listening to the show.
Yeah, yeah, back button focus.
We've talked about the back button focus.
We've talked about that.
Yeah. I started doing that years ago, and I can't go back.
No.
But lenses. Lenses are cheaper to rent. There's something that you can kind of buy one and then rent the ones that you can't necessarily afford right now.
Mm-hmm.
So I would say that really the camera is the first thing you want to get. You want to make sure that you can get yourself some reliable flashes. Those are a big deal. Get yourself a couple of decent lenses.
Okay, so I'm Uncle Joe.
Yeah.
I got my, pick a camera, Rebel something.
Rebel T3i.
Sure. T3i with 18-55. And I'm going to go shoot someone's wedding for free, like a family member.
Yeah, that's...
Besides that, I understand the advice is don't do it.
Don't do
but
it.
Okay, maybe something less than a wedding. Maybe something that's... like, you're going to go shoot some
family. No, I'm going to power ahead with this wedding.
Wow, okay.
And I'm going to make a purchase. I'm going to either buy a 430 EX flash or a 50mm lens. Which do I buy?
What kind of 50?
I'll buy the 1.4.
The 1.4? I would say get the 50, and I would say rent the flashes.
Okay. Adam, what did you buy first?
I bought a flash first. I had the 51.8 already, though.
You bought...
I bought first the 51.8, first thing, and then I bought the 430 EX pretty quick after that, and then I started buying more flashes.
I do recommend buy the lens first.
Yeah.
It'll be easier to master. Flash is not easy to make look good.
Yeah.
It comes in handy.
It's funny. I shot with a lot of different photographers. I've had a lot of different second shooters. A lot of people that I know to be excellent photographers, and it's amazing how many people don't actually have a good grasp on how to bounce flash.
Mm-hmm.
So that is definitely something that it takes some time to master.
So when you're starting out, look to a good lens first. That was my advice to you.
Yeah, I just went on a buying frenzy, though. Then it was like every 2 weeks I was buying something
else. I would say that, too, it's good to have, if you're going to go primes, have a wide lens and then have a longer lens. Personally, I love the 50mm. It's a great lens length for details, portraits, that sort of thing. It's one of my favorites. Mm-hmm. But then also make sure you pair it with something that's wider, like a 24 maybe.
Great. Now, you talk about renting lenses. You only rent a little bit now and used to rent more?
Yeah, I only rent the one lens now. But yeah, I did rent like a little bit more before. And that's just sort of, if you want to save money and be able to invest in other parts of your business, because the camera gear is really important, but you also have to be a business owner and you actually have to keep yourself afloat and mm-hmm. pay for other things like computer gear and stuff like that. So enabled to be able to give yourself a budget for those other things, sometimes you just forego getting that next lens just for a little while. Well, if you don't really need it right this moment.
The 70 to 200 is a great lens to rent.
It is.
If you have enough foresight.
Yeah.
Because I tried to rent one this summer.
Oh, no, you can't. You
and
can't
I had just no clue. I assumed they had 30 or 40 kicking around.
I literally, because I get most of my bookings basically between now and February.
Mm-hmm.
And I literally go to my rental guy at Bofoto. And
I can say, you can say their name because I like them.
Jason at Bofoto. Seriously. Okay. If you're looking to be a pro in Vancouver, Bofoto, yep. Telling you. But I'll go to him with a list of all my dates in about February, March, and I'll say I need a 7200 for this day. I rent some of my photo booth gear from him too, so we'll get that all marked down, and it's literally all set for me before the season even starts.
Yeah, I found most one of my 7200 broke, and I had the wedding come up, and I thought I'd get it back time. And
said you rented it for me for free.
Yes, that's correct. Yeah.
I think you gave me some crappy coffee in return.
That's true, I did.
Yeah.
There's actually, next time, there's another place I just found about. It's called Flashpoint. And they're not as well known, and they have a little bit more leeway that way. So
okay.
Next time it happens.
I'll check them out.
Or just talk me into getting whatever lens you might need, and then you can just borrow it.
Yeah, that's what I'll end up doing. So you're right. I really do owe you.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's really been a one-sided situation here.
Yeah. Next time you complain about the audio mixing, just remember.
Equipment backup. How important is that, Yerne?
Now, do you mean having doubles or?
Just in general. Like, what do you do for backup to make sure that you're not going to be left in the lurch in the middle of a wedding?
Well, as you notice for my gear, I mean, I've got the two cameras, so...
Two cameras.
Always important. Two cameras. Yeah. I mean, even if you can afford three cameras, even better.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's kind of crazy town, but I always have a second shooter with me, and they always have two cameras, too. So we're quadruply ready to go.
Okay.
I have heard of random cases where a photographer's had both their cameras die, never happened to me, knock on wood, but...
I think I would just get up at the wedding and announce that I'm going to go.
I'm just going to be in the back crying for a while. If you just excuse me.
The price just went up, everybody.
But I have lenses that can kind of take over for each other. So I've got the 35, I've got the 50, I've got the 85, and the 7200 is with me if I'm doing the outdoor. And then I've got my 24-105 as well. So I've got a variety of different focal lengths, and any one of them can kind of take over for each other.
The two cameras is important. I make sure I do have that as well. But I don't think I would be above going into the crowd and just picking out someone's camera. Can I borrow this?
It's kind of important.
Because you're clearly with a pop-up flash and the 18-foot, you're not using it.
Yeah. Actually, it's funny how often I go to weddings now and I'll have, you know, a couple cousins or something with two, they have 5Ds and L lenses, but they're just bouncing their flash right into the ceiling or something. It's like, yeah.
Yeah, no, I see that all the time as well. But how many cards do you bear? First of all, how many photos do you anticipate taking?
Oh, God. It's embarrassing, actually.
So eight?
No. I take a lot of photos. I usually come home with about 3,000.
3,000?
Yeah, from a wedding.
In RAW?
In RAW. And that's just me, not my second shooter.
Okay.
So.
Do you just turn it on and leave it? Is that what happens?
Pretty much.
Monkeys typing Shakespeare?
I just get really excited, I guess, and I just keep shooting. So, yeah. Embarrassing. I am an overshooter. I think there needs to be a 12-step program for us.
See, I find myself, I want to talk about this on another show, but I do find myself overshooting sometimes in anticipation of an event.
Yeah.
Like when it's coming, I will snap one or two safety shots before in case it doesn't happen.
You know, I do that, and I think that's actually why I get so many shots is because I am trying to overshoot. I'm getting the safe shot as well as getting the more artistic as well.
Mm-hmm.
And honestly, it doesn't take me too long to go through it. I use a program called Photo Mechanic to cull my photos, and because it just renders everything so quickly, it's easier to cull through. I'm not going to say it's easy. It's just, you know, I don't have to look at thousands of photos because I do, but it does ensure that I have that safety barrier of I did get that shot, and then, oh, I got this really awesome alternative of it as well, or maybe I didn't.
I think I want to make clear that you overshoot not because you're... unconfident in your abilities, because that's where most overshooting comes from.
No, it's not that. It's just that I want to make sure that I have options.
Mm-hmm.
That's really the thing.
So 3,000 plus, how many cards does that fill?
Well, I use 16 gig cards, and that would be six, I think.
Okay.
And I bring enough cards for... How many do I have now? I think I have 22 cards. I bring 22 with me to every wedding, just in case.
Just in case.
You never know.
How many cards do you have?
Four.
That's
but nice. I have a 64 gig card.
Wow.
So I usually don't fill that.
No. No, absolutely not.
See, I think the 64 would scare me because...
if it goes down, you're in big trouble.
Yeah, that's
I'm everything. Not shooting weddings, though. No. So there's my... I might lose a few of the kids, and oh well, I've got 3 million other ones, so...
That's yeah. true. You that's, can make a flip yeah. with other life. But yeah. I just moved up to the 16 gig cards, and even I'm still nervous because I've always been shooting 4 gigs, and what can go wrong? That's, for me, that's 12 minutes of video. That's it.
Yeah.
Now it's, well, times 4. But so far, so good.
Yeah, on the 5D Mark II, because I shoot full RAW, it's about 500 photos, so...
Right.
And I've never had... I always use SanDisk, actually, so I've never had a problem with them. I've used off-brand before and had them be a little bit flaky.
Mm-hmm.
So I just decided years ago, I'm just going to go with SanDisk. They're yeah. very reliable.
The extra $6 will...
Pretty much,
yeah. ...be mind, absolutely. Batteries. Do you have a lot of batteries?
Heck yeah. Okay. I have more batteries than you can shake a stick at, and I start charging them like 2 or 3 days before the wedding, so I have all of them ready, all of them in their cases, all set to go. I have probably enough batteries to shoot like a 20-hour wedding if I needed to.
Mm-hmm.
In full flash, if I was using flash the entire day. But that's, again, you never know. Like, I've had times where I've put batteries into my flashes for the first dance, and I guess one of them's gone dead or something, and you know, I'm needing to change out my batteries really quickly, and I don't want to just be living on the edge of, okay, well, I have just enough batteries for these three flashes, and so
mm-hmm.
I just want to make sure that I'm ready to go. I just have a bunch of backups charged and ready to go. I don't need to worry about which one's what, and just stick in my flashes and make it work.
Do you bring chargers to the event?
No, because I have so many batteries charged up, so.
Okay.
And I have extra batteries. I use the battery grips on my 5D Mark IIs.
Mm-hmm.
So each of my cameras has two batteries in it, and then I have two additional batteries for each camera as well.
That's plenty.
It's a lot of batteries.
See, I find that when I bring my charger, to an event, this is the one little tip I'm going to give out this week, is put your car keys next to that charger, because you will not go home without that charger. Which I've done.
Or yeah. someone will take your charger in your car.
Either way.
Either way. Yeah.
Yeah, they can have the 81 Buick. I'm all right with it.
Yeah.
So,
I also have a lot of batteries.
Do you?
Yeah, tons. Only because every time I go to Costco, they sell like a pack of rechargeable Duracells that I love. I like the Duracells more than the Energizers. I've used a lot of kids' toys, and I find that the Duracells last longer. They're harder to find, but Costco sells, I think it's like, there's 8 AA's and 4 AAA's, and it comes in a pack at Costco for like $20.
Mm.
It's like half of what I've seen at anywhere else when you buy those batteries individually, so there's an upsell on Costco.
Okay.
But they're a new sponsor of the show, maybe. No, but I buy those, and every time I go in at Costco, it's just like, oh, I just dropped $20, and then I've just got them all labeled, so I know, like, I mark each set of two, with a little piece of tape now, because I saw that from David Hobby, because then you know approximately when batteries start to die which one's going to go with it.
Right.
So there's my tip from David Hobby. I'm just regurgitating what he said because I think it's smart.
You know? I have a really cool thing now, actually. My husband has started importing batteries because he's a huge bike aficionado, and so he needs them for his bike lights and that sort of thing. Side effect of that is that I get access to really awesome batteries, and for weddings you want the high capacity rechargeables, and so he's able to get those for me at a really reasonable price, and they have these great chargers. They're fast charge. They have a light on each slot, and it'll actually let you know when each individual one has charged, as well as if it's gone bad. So that's fantastic. Yeah. Now I actually have that built in.
Yeah.
Okay, we're going to talk after the show, and maybe I'll have that built in too.
Great.
I'll need to pick one of those up. Do you shoot with the tripod? We're getting to the end, Adam. I have... Adam has his shoes on. He's at the front door.
Yeah.
He's ready to go.
Yeah, and I've got the car warming up. Yeah.
At the correct address. Yeah.
I have the most awesome tripod ever. It's a Manfrotto. It's built like a truck. It's got the great the pistol grip head. It's mm-hmm. I mean, it's fantastic, and I never use it.
Okay.
Ever.
Because...
I find it very limiting.
It's difficult to shoot 3,000 photos on a tripod.
Pretty much, yeah.
Yeah, it slows you down.
And you can't be very creative with it.
I also do not use a tripod. I have one. I think I have a small one in Vancouver. I've never flown with it, so it's never made it to Germany. I have borrowed one for video work, but in terms of shooting for photo jobs, I never use one.
It's a shame, really, because it's a fantastic one. It just sits there.
You're going to use it a lot once the kid comes, because if you want to be in the photos with your family, that's the only place my tripod gets used, is the run-in, I call it, because I don't have a shutter release, or I do have one, but it doesn't seem to work very well without it actually being in the picture.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, it's like, oh, I can't put it behind my back, and it doesn't release.
We're going to talk after the show. Yeah. I almost bought one yesterday.
It's an off-brand. Don't buy it. I would save your money. Okay. Yeah.
Well, it's 15
I think
because
it's an infrared one, and it has to actually... camera has to see it.
It's funny because when I originally started doing professional work, I thought, I have to get a tripod. Professional photographers have tripods. Mm-hmm. And that's why I got it. And I learned pretty quickly that you don't need one.
They are nice to have in certain situations, but... You know, maybe you're doing a group photo and you want everybody lined up. It comes in handy.
Or the long exposure stuff, which I don't know how much use you have for that either.
Well, I find actually I can do the long exposure stuff if I find something that I can lean against and I just hold my breath and then take that photo. And I do it a few different times.
Mm-hmm.
That's usually what I do. I find I don't need a tripod. I actually use my tripod mostly for my photo booth these days.
Right. Hear that, Manfrotto? Come on. Anyways.
I'm not backing you up. If you were looking at me like I'm going to laugh or something.
I forgot I had a piece of gear that I... my light stands. I just have to give a shout out to Cheetah stands. They're fantastic. I absolutely love them. They're fairly light, and they actually automatically extend their legs when you put them down.
Okay.
So you don't have to be fiddling around with opening it up and then tightening it and then...
Is that an online? Like, I've never heard of those.
Yeah,
so,
they're online, and they're awesome.
And give us a ballpark of how expensive they are.
I think they were about $120, $150 each.
Yeah.
About that, but I love them. And they're sturdy enough that they don't fall over, which is a huge thing.
Do you sandbag them
at
weddings?
No, I don't.
Wow. That's gutsy.
I am gutsy. Yeah. But before that, I had the Manfrotto stands, the air cushion ones that are, for studio. And mm-hmm. those things were heavy.
Right.
Carrying those around for doing engagement sessions was just killing me. So
yeah, we both have the very small. I brought one, the lower version of that, much more portable.
Yeah, very light. Yeah,
yeah. But I agree, they are a bit of a pain to un.
Yeah, the Cheetah stands are awesome,
especially when you're doing three of them.
Yeah,
you want to get going, and everyone's impatient.
I'm going to check out Cheetah stands. Is that actually the name?
That's
of the
actual is the actual name.
Okay.
So if you got hired to do a wedding, what was the bare minimum you could go and shoot with? This is a what if question.
That's so hard because in my opinion, everything that I have in my bag is the bare minimum that I can do it with.
Uh-huh.
So just replay that last thing about what she carries in her bag.
Right.
I would have to have two cameras. I'd have to have a wide lens, and I would like to say. You could bare minimum do it with a wide lens and a long lens. I would want to have a mid-range as well, though. That's just me. That's personally what I want. It's what I feel comfortable with. And you need to have two flashes at least, and a good whack of batteries and memory cards. You can even rent memory cards if you don't have the money to get them. So that's something to keep in mind as well.
Okay.
I'll shoot your wedding with a 50 millimeter. And a 5D.
I'm going to get married next week. It's perfect.
That's how I did shoot your wedding.
Yeah.
But not a 5D.
Yeah, I look at those pictures FTV. And I wish that Amber had shot my wedding.
Well, yeah.
But I should have called her.
The technology didn't exist.
Yeah, that's true.
I shot it on film.
Yeah.
Yeah. I shot ISO 1600 film, color film back then.
Maybe we'll get married again and you can have another go at it.
Yeah. I'll hold my breath. That's awesome. Well, thanks a lot, Amber. That's
you're welcome.
All the questions that Adam wrote down this week.
Hope I was helpful.
Yes, I think so.
I think so. Do you have a challenge for next week, Adam?
I don't. Do you?
Yeah, I do.
Okay.
I want, and this is actually something I'm going to ask Amber about in the future if she'll share it with us. Not today, but I want to know more about taking group photos. You seem to fancy yourself a good group photoist.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All I can say is my term for it is herding cats. We'll get into that.
Okay.
It's a good visual.
So we're going to do a group photo.
Yeah.
It's Christmas coming up. You're probably going to get together with family members.
I'm stacking
the deck for you.
No, because my family's all spread out. The most time I'm going to have is about 8 people. Does that count?
Oh, I was going to say 4 plus.
Okay, to me, 4 plus. To me, I can four do 4 plus. That's my family.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can do that.
So we'll do that.
Okay.
Group photo. Because people have been asking. They want to know more about group photos.
Okay.
So I'm going to ask Chris Marquardt as well.
Oh, great.
And see if it, separately and see who gives the give overlapping advice. He's a German, so probably won't overlap at all. Websites. That's what it says right there.
SchwartzChronicles.com.
Wow.
I thought I would go first because we'll let Amber go last because that's going to be what we leave off with.
Oh, okay.
Right? Yeah.
Good. Then mine at AlanAtridge.com. And you can find both of us at twohosers.com. We're on Facebook now. Actually, thanks to you.
Thanks to me.
It is actually 100% Amber's fault.
Yeah.
And it's good. I've been a humongous Facebook snob for a long time, like anti-Facebook.
It's where everybody is.
It really is. And it turns out, if you can get past your own snobbery, Facebook is really awesome.
It is. And it's really helpful, too.
There's a lot of non-awesome involved. Like, if you're not careful, you can go to the dark side.
Yes. Where it's all cat memes and...
and, hey, who got bald and who got fat?
Yeah, that too.
Or bald and fat.
Both of those.
Yeah. Bald.
Yeah. 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 Well, you can lose a couple. But, I'm just saying. That's what it is. It's like, wow.
This got personal.
Anyway, so yeah, we're on Facebook now, so you can check that out. And how do you get people to like you without sounding needy? That's what I want to find out.
It's a slow build, honestly. Yeah. I mean, I do every now and then I'll mention like, oh, my Facebook page or whatever, but I find actually part of it for me is having a personal page as well and linking between the two. That kind of, you know, tips people off to that it's there, and I'll put links to it on my websites as well.
Real quick, as a personal Facebooker, do you like your own page?
Well, I think you technically like it because you're the admin.
I don't know.
Maybe that's like voting for yourself in like the grade 8 class election,
mm-hmm.
Right?
I did that.
It's very
is weird because I haven't been in grade 8 in years.
it's very gauche to write an update and then like your own update, though. That's
I've never done that.
That's pretty nerdy.
I've triple posted by accident because I didn't like. I'm that guy. I'm like basically like your mom. You know, I don't really understand Facebook.
Why you gotta bring my mom?
I just meant your mom in general, the listener's mom.
You looked at me, though, when you said that.
No, I'm sorry.
How about we let Amber tell us about her websites before you go
ranting? Fine, Facebook. Yeah. Like us on Facebook, because Amber said so. That's it, okay?
Amber does say so.
Now, more importantly, Amber, where can we find you?
AmberHughes.ca, as well as blog.AmberHughes.ca. Those are my two main sites. If you want to see my latest work, the blog's the best place. And if you want to find me on Facebook, it's Facebook/AmberHughesPhoto.
Okay. Now, I do like your blog because you seem to get things up very quickly, and you're not shy about posting a lot of pictures.
Yeah. Well, for me, my blog is really, it's for my clients, but it's also for future clients as well. I use it as a means for them to really get a sense of what I can offer them for the full day. So I want them to see, you know, the getting ready, the wedding, the reception as well, instead of just the couple highlights. I want them to really see what I'm capable of.
Great. Check it out.
Okay, yeah.
AmberHughes.ca. That's it.
That's it.
Okay, well, until next week then, everybody get out there and make better photos.